This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show, everybody. The Mets have gotten off to a great start. They are leading the National League East by really a decent amount. So they have to feel good about things. And we thought, hey, wouldn't it be good to talk to the general manager of the Mets? And we said, sure, let's do it. And he said, sure, let's do it. So let's go around the bases with the Mets GM, Billy Epler. It's brought to you by Nissan. And Billy joins us now. Billy, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. Do you feel really good about this team, or do you look and say, I got to make some tweaks?
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the job descriptions always look for improvement, right? So, you know, that's something I learned, you know, in my upbringing in the game is to try to see, you know, if there are certain areas that we can shore up the club or enhance the club. And so always, you know, eyes open, ears open, and willing to do that if it makes sense. But do feel really good about this club. Like the resiliency, like the way they you know, scratch and claw. It kind of reminds me of you know, teams, you know, from, you know, a decade ago when teams used to try to wear down a starter and get into the underbelly of the bullpen, as they used to say. You know, it just feels like there's not very many at-bats, you know, handed away in this lineup. So it's been good to see so far.
Billy, as a Met fan, I guess my biggest concern is this bullpen. Not that it's a problem, but certainly an area to improve. But when you analyze the bullpen, do you have to take it with a grain of salt considering how much extra they've had to do to compensate for the loss of DeGrom and having to use some of that bullpen as starters early on?
I think that's a component of it. And then also, you know, I think we played 4 doubleheaders already. And so that's going to compromise it because you're not going to use, or generally we haven't so far, used the, you know, the same reliever in the same game or the same day. And then, you know, actually Buck and I were talking about earlier today, the concept of tonight's game. And you start to think like, that's right, everybody pitched yesterday, or, you know, just about everybody pitched. And so you don't want to trick yourself into thinking that just because they didn't pitch in the most recent game doesn't mean they didn't pitch yesterday. Right. And so, you know, that, you know, makes you have to test, you know, everybody down there. And I think Buck does a great job managing the bullpen. He's very mindful of rest for guys. You know, to kind of use his words, kind of see what you got in some of those areas. But, you know, it is a spot that teams and strong clubs look to enhance as the season goes on. That's done across the league. And so, you know, we'll be mindful of that and see if there's areas. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, in whole, I do think the bullpen right now as it's sitting is, you know, kind of tracking as a top 10 bullpen in some of the ERA and you know, other kind of components and metrics that you look at. So it's good. Can it be better? Yes, it can be better. But I could say that about some other areas too. And so again, that's kind of back to the job description, looking where we can enhance.
All right. Maybe Billy, I'm just, you know, I've been around this game so long that, you know, I'm a little negative, but you know, the news yesterday that you looked at as positive with DeGrom, I said, that doesn't mean, it means he's not going to get on the mound until July at the earliest. And we had said, you know, you guys had said that you were hoping for 2 months, so it's going to be over 2 months. Was that good news or bad news? Because he's still not throwing off a mound.
Oh, I didn't talk about him not getting on a mound until when you said get on a mound until July. I didn't.
No,
say
I mean
that.
Get on a mound and pitch
more
for you.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Well, right now the next step is just continue to stress the arm, and then he's just doing that by moving back and throwing harder. And you know, generally there's a very high degree of confidence in you know, fractures and when guys recover, you know, from a stress reaction or a stress fracture. And as that happens, and as more time goes on, the calcification increases, and as that increases, you get more and more confident in stepping on it, so to speak, and throwing with more intent. What you don't want to do is you don't want to have an issue. And so trying to play the long game a little bit more here with him and get to that point where at the 2 month mark where he could really start to throw hard. And we're coming up on that, but we're not there at this moment in time. And so the prescription is just keep moving back because he's not to the back of where his throwing program would normally be, in just a year without any issue. He's not back that far at this moment in time. So he'll just keep moving back and throwing with more velocity. And, the next stage after this will be a mound, but we don't have a timetable on it because we're going to treat the patient and see how he feels.
Has he shown any frustration through this process of, like, not being able to have a concrete knowledge of exactly what's going on? Because I think that's probably the scary piece for fans, right, is that there's something going on, there's inflammation, there's an issue, but there hasn't been a, you know, clear diagnosed problem. We get that better. He's good to go. Is that frustrating for Jacob?
No, there definitely is a clear diagnosed problem. Absolutely. And you know, it's that stress reaction. That was a very clear diagnosis. And we have a prescription. We have something on paper. We have a plan for him. We're just talking about what comes next. And what comes next is moving back further. I'm not disclosing what the entire plan is because we're really trying to stay process oriented and very focused on going marker to marker with it. I learned this, I remember, when Derek Jeter was coming back from his ankle and they set opening day as a target. He had set opening day as a target. And then when you set those things, it kind of builds, anxiety, and it can kind of build, a lot of attention around it. And so, taking this more day-to-day or process approach to what is the next thing we need to do? The next thing we need to do is move him back further and have him throw harder. And then we need to see how that responds. And then when we get through that stage, then you can move along.
So I just to clarify, Billy, and we're talking with Billy Epler, the GM of the Mets, nice enough to join us here. When you get him on a mound, are we starting from when a pitcher would start in spring training where a normal spring training is 6 weeks long for the pitcher? Would it be 6 weeks after he steps on a mound, Billy?
I'd leave that up to the plan that Jeremy Hefner and our performance staff will come up with. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's going to need a full buildup because he has not been on a mound. So he's going to need a full buildup when that day comes. Yep.
Now, as amazing a pitcher that he is, Billy, and we were captivated by him early last year, the feeling was, could he dial it down a bit? Was he throwing too hard? Was he going too all out? And it's the only way he knows. And I'm not suggesting that he shouldn't try hard every pitch, but does he need to learn how at certain moments to dial himself down so that he can be on this team and be a part of what's happening for the long haul?
That hasn't been something that we've talked specifically with him about. If that was determined by, again, our performance group, or if there was some kind of objective indicator that says this is putting him at risk, then we would clearly take that to him. But we do not have that objective indicator right now.
Scherzer starts tonight, Billy. Is he everything that you could have hoped for when you signed him? Is he that leader that we heard about? Is he so motivated and locked in? I mean, is there any surprises with this guy?
No, it's as advertised. Very intense, very prepared. Kind of begins the study process. Of his opponent, I'd say 48 hours in advance, and then wants to understand where our positioning is going to be and how if it jives with how he wants to attack a particular hitter. And so, by all measures, a professional and a competitor, and definitely a welcome addition to the club.
Dominic Smith has really struggled here, Billy. Is this just a slump to start the season or anything you're concerned about?
It's actually just a little bit of randomness. He's not chasing pitches outside the strike zone. He's not striking out at an alarming rate. So a lot of the, the process things that we look for are in place. He's getting a little bit of poor luck on some balls in play, as a lot of left-handers do with the overshift. But by and large, we definitely believe in Dom and believe that he'll be able to straighten this out And that things will start to kind of fall his way a little bit more. So, but the process inside the batter's box is really strong.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
I thought yesterday, Billy, that Francisco Lindor gave a great answer because he's not hitting the way he wants, but he said, you know, pitchers drive nice cars too. Is there any concern with you and Buck that, you know, this is kind of a return to the struggles that he had last year, or do you see something different?
No, with Francisco, you know, his April was so kind of in line with what his career has been. And a lot of the batted balls and the balls in play were doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're falling at the rate, you know, at about a 28, 29% chance of falling safely for a hit. This month, it's been 15% of those. So there's an element of bad luck on balls in play. And I know statistically it's not what he wants it to be, but the at-bats, you know, are still competitive at-bats, and the defense is still at a very strong level. And so nothing but trust and a lot of support here for Francisco. And you know, I think the whole club by and large is really supporting each other in that way. I was kind of talking a little bit about the lineup earlier. There's just this mentality of kind of next man up, and a pass the baton, you know, mindset that takes on with these guys, and they're all doing their part in there.
Now, Buck is so humble. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, Billy, and I wanted to pinpoint where this intestinal fortitude comes from this team, where it doesn't seem like you give up any easy outs. Even in the games you lose, it's 27 hard outs. Buck refused to take credit for it, but Billy, is he the major reason why this team is that way?
It's just a mindset of everybody around the club in general, right? So absolutely is Buck a part of that? No question. Is the coaching staff a part of it? Absolutely they are. You know, we just don't want to give anything away for free, right? So you're not seeing, you know, unless it's completely, you know, strategy-based, you're not seeing a lot of intentional walks, you're not seeing a lot of pitch-outs. We want you to kind of earn everything. Hard 90s down the line from, you know, from our position players. You know, guys going in to break up double plays as much as you can nowadays. So, yeah, there's just a kind of a mindset, and the players play the game. And I think, you know, Buck, coaches, and myself, we recognize that. And it's they carry that kind of mindset. And the, you know, the standards are set around the organization, but the players really do carry that mindset.
All right, before we let you go, I have to ask this, because to me, Steve Cohen is like the international man of mystery, you know, the whole deal. What's it like being his GM? Is there a lot of interaction? Is he tough? Does he get angry after win, after losses? I mean, does he interact with you a lot, Billy?
Yeah, I mean, we correspond daily, not always via phone, but at least via text. And, I just keep him apprised of everything that's going on. And, we'll talk a couple times a week. And, but my interaction with him and with Sandy as well is very, very regular, very consistent. And but nothing out of the ordinary. So, for me, it's kind of feels natural, feels at least what I'm kind of been accustomed to in my baseball years.
Last one from me, Billy. Earlier in the season, there was an issue with, it seems like, everyone plunking the Mets over and over again, and there was an odd number of players hit for this team. You guys went to have conversations with the league. Were you able to gain any valuable information or have any worthwhile conversation with Major League Baseball about what was going on there?
It wasn't really anything specific except for just how teams were, attacking the Mets. And so, we just kind of talked a little bit about approach and, at what point does something become, a little bit extreme, and so you just kind of be mindful of where catchers set up and so on and so forth, and clearly be mindful of pitch types and, there's randomness in this game too. And so you have to try to really, acknowledge, what things have intent behind them and what things don't. And, thankful to see it's not at the rate, that it was early, because that would have been really hard to sustain and really painful for a lot of people. The conversations that we've had with Major League Baseball on a couple of different occasions have been productive, and they do continue to regularly check in even when there's not an issue. So I'm appreciative of that.
So all in all, you're a happy man.
All in all, I'm a happy man. Yeah.
were you as excited as Buck was about Shakira?
I probably not as excited, no. My wife texted me and asked me if I met her, and I said, yeah. But it was, she's a great artist and performer, and she was down here with her kids. They seemed to be so excited to, see some big leaguers up close and personal, hit some baseballs really hard. They were kind of actually standing, close enough to the cage where you could hear the echo. And so, as you can imagine, it sounds like thunder going off. And so that was pretty cool to see those little boys light up when they were standing nearby.
But more importantly, were you surprised how excited Buck was to meet her?
Yeah, Billy, because I know the guy almost 40 years.
He was trying
and that
to cover it.
Me.
He was trying to cover it. He was like, oh, this is nice. But everybody's making a bigger deal of it than I am. So he was trying to, minimize it a little bit with me.
Well, he surprised me, and I've known him a long time. I never knew he liked Shakira. So you live and learn, right, Bill?
Yeah, exactly right. That's right. We never stop learning and growing.
No.
All right, man. Continued success. Thank you for giving us some time. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Absolutely, guys. Take care. Be well.
All right. That's the GM of the Mets, Billy Epler, and that's today's Around the Bases, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store on NissanUSA.com. Now, Mets playing the Cardinals tonight at Citi Field. At Yankee Stadium today, it was the NYU graduation.
Okay.
And Taylor Swift actually was given a doctorate by NYU, and she gave, she was a commencement speaker. And I've just got to tell you this one thing, and I think you guys know I'm really being sincere. If Fordham ever bestowed an honorary doctorate on me, I would then insist that I'm named Dr. K. I would, on the show,
really?
The Dr. Michael K. show, I would introduce myself, hello, I'm Dr. K. I mean, I crave for that. Crave it. Is that wrong?
Yes.
It's not surprising, though, Don, is it?
No, but it's still wrong. I mean, come on. It's an honorary doctorate. So, no, you're not
still
a doctor.
You're still a doctor.
Not really.
Wow.
No,
it's
because
good to have the support of your friends.
Because it's also very arrogant. Like, even when you get knighted in England, right? You know, is it supposed to be Sir Paul McCartney? But he, it's still, even Paul McCartney's not walking around asking people to call him Sir.
But you remember the credits at the end of the Cosby Show? It was Dr. William Cosby.
So that's where you want to go?
No, that's, I'm just giving you an instance.
Well, you got to give me another one.
Well,
I don't accept that analogy. How about that?
But I mean, how many doctors are doing sports radio shows around the country? I think that would separate me
almost
from others.
Very few. Very few.
You'd be like on. Dr. Laura.
Yeah, just like that. Hi, you're talking to Dr. K.
Would you really want to carry that weight?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm not. This isn't even an act. I would insist that anywhere I go, I'd be referred to as Dr. Michael K.
So go do us a favor. Show us something. Go back to school and get a doctorate.
Come at me, nerds.
I don't want to.
I'm too old to do that now.
Why?
But if I get the honorary, if Fordham is listening, you know, I love the school. If you throw an honorary doctorate on me, it's going to mean the world to me.
But do they do that?
I'm sure they do. If NYU does, why wouldn't Fordham do it?
Because I don't know anybody that went to Fordham that has gotten that honor.
I think they should actually bestow honorary doctorates to me and Mike Breen.
And both of you.
Yeah. Vince Scully?
Well, Vince, he should get the first.
So the fact, this is what I'm alluding to, is that if he doesn't have it, nobody should.
Well, maybe he doesn't want it. I'm craving it.
But then again, what exactly are the standards we're setting here? It's obviously just clearly fame. I mean, NYU is a prestigious school. And they just gave Taylor Swift an honorary doctorate. No offense to her, but it's just like it was just because of her fame.
That's right.
So you're famous, but Vince Scully's more famous than you.
Of course. And Denzel Washington is more famous than all of us.
I would think so, sure.
Alan Alda?
Yes.
You'd go there for that, right?
Don would weep. He would break down and weep.
No, I wouldn't break down. Would I go? Yeah.
It's the only center stage that
only
he
one.
Is deemed.
It's the best center stage you ever did. There's nobody more famous than Alan Alda that you interviewed.
That's not true.
Nobody.
Kevin
nobody
Costner?
More important than me. Come on.
Sylvester Stallone?
Alan Alda would act circles around Kevin Costner.
Larry David?
Circles. Even Larry would say.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But in both cases.
Adam Sandler, a great thespian in his own right?
Go ahead, Peter. The floor is yours.
Well,
please.
Sandler's a fine actor, in my opinion. Fine. Actually, a really solid actor.
Well, I thought you were going to go into your impression. That's what I was Stop looking at me, Swan.
Shampoo's better. It cleans the hair.
This is how much Peter has seeped into my brain. So I'm in the hotel room the other day, and I'm flipping through channels. I hardly ever watch TV on the road anymore. And it was the beginning
really?
Of Back to the Future. And Marty comes on and says, "Hey, Doc." And I thought of Peter immediately.
Yeah.
It's
hey,
2
Doc.
In the morning. I'm lying in bed, and I thought of Peter, and I felt uncomfortable.
Where? What part did you tune into? The very beginning?
The very, very beginning.
Oh, maybe the best first 5 minutes in the history of film.
And how about the Spartan, like, credits? You know, it just comes up, says Back to the Future, and that's about it.
It's that movie. There are very few pieces of art in my life that I could just say, perfect. It is literally perfect.
Can we get a Marty? Can we get a Marty?
Hey, Doc, you forgot to feed Einstein.
Unbelievable.
You tell him, Stephen.
He's a Rangers guy, isn't he?
I think he is.
Michael J. Fox is a Rangers fan, right, Don?
Well, yes, he is.
He's from British Columbia.
I think he was at the game the other night.
But he does go to a lot of Ranger games.
Yeah, he's a big Ranger fan. 1-800-919-3776. We've presented quite the buffet for you. We've talked about Aaron Judge. Aaron Boone said that the buzz on the field is about Don getting the Devil's job. You heard everything Billy Epler is thinking of and his hopes and dreams. So there you have it, everybody. 1-800-919-3776. Let's talk right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.